Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring reading and understanding charts and graphs. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
I am really excited to get into this one. It's so relevant right now.
It really is. I mean, think about it. Back in, like, 1986, the average person consumed about 40 newspapers worth of information every single day.
Oh, wow. Just 40.
Right. And today, it is closer to 174.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Raw numbers are just screaming at you every time you open your phone or, you know, read a financial report or even just look at your fitness tracker.
Yeah, we are absolutely swimming in data.
Exactly. But human brains were not built to read massive spreadsheets. I mean, biologically, we were built to spot a predator moving in the tall grass, you know?
Right. Our brains are wired for visual cues, not rows of numbers.
Exactly. So that is why data visualization isn't just some leftover requirement from a high school math class.
Mm-hmm.
It is the critical translation layer between this whole avalanche of digital noise and our actual biological hardware.
Yeah, that biological hardware point is really the crux of the whole issue. We are operating in this heavily digitally enabled future, right? And we're required to synthesize just massive amounts of complex information daily.
Oh, absolutely. Every single day.
But our working memory, it can only hold about, you know, 5 to 7 pieces of information at once. So if you look at a raw data table with 1,000 rows,
your brain just gives up.
It literally crashes. Yeah. A well-designed chart bypasses that bottleneck. It leverages your visual cortex, allowing
right.
you to spot trends, anomalies, or patterns in literally milliseconds.
Just instantly.
Exactly. It is a fundamental modern survival skill, especially for young professionals who are entering a landscape where, I mean, let's face it, every single industry is driven by data now.
Okay, let's unpack this because I want to challenge the idea that data itself is inherently intimidating.
Mm.
I think a lot of people freeze up when someone projects a complex slide full of charts. But the panic isn't really about the map.
No, it's usually not.
Right. It's about a lack of visual literacy. Giving someone a spreadsheet without visualization skills is like, well, it's like saying, here's a thermometer.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, it's just a raw reading. What you actually need in a professional setting is someone who can look at that thermometer and say, you have a fever, and here is the medicine we need to take. The chart is what bridges that gap between observation and diagnosis.
I really like that thermometer distinction. And, you know, taking it further, if you don't understand how to read the visual output, you might diagnose a fever when the patient is actually freezing.
Oh, wow, right. A total misdiagnosis.
Exactly. And the consequences of poor interpretation skills in the modern workplace are, frankly, severe.
Yeah, you could make some huge mistakes.
Right. You misread market trends, you allocate budgets to completely the wrong departments, and you just miss the actual story the data is trying to tell you.
Which is the whole point of having the data in the first place.
Exactly. But on the flip side, developing strong visual interpretation skills dramatically improves your critical thinking. It allows you to question the premise of a presentation rather than just, you know, passively accepting whatever is on the slide.
Which brings us to the core tools we actually use to diagnose those issues. Our lesson material highlights the big three formats.
Ah, yes, the classics.
Right. Bar charts, line graphs, and pie charts. But instead of just defining what they are, because, I mean, we all know a bar chart has bars,
mm-hmm.
let's look at why they actually work. Or, in some cases, why they fail spectacularly.
Yes, let's definitely talk about the failures.
Well, I want to start with pie charts, actually, because I know data visualization professionals have some very strong opinions about them.
Oh, they do. I mean, a lot of data experts completely despise pie charts.
Really? Just complete hatred?
Pretty much, yeah. And the reason comes right back down to that biological hardware we were just discussing. Pie charts force the human brain to compare two-dimensional areas and angles to figure out which slice is bigger.
And we aren't good at that.
Evolutionarily, we are incredibly bad at doing that.
Yeah.
If you have a pie chart with 5 slices and 2 of them are roughly, say, 20%, your eye genuinely cannot tell the difference without a text label doing the heavy lifting for you.
So the chart itself is basically useless without the text.
Exactly. And furthermore, you see companies using pie charts for survey data where respondents could actually select multiple answers.
Oh, that is the absolute worst. You end up looking at a pie chart where the slices add up to like 140%.
Yes.
It makes zero mathematical sense. What's fascinating here is how our default software tools, whether you're in a boardroom or a university lecture, they often push us into these really bad habits.
They absolutely do.
You just highlight a column of data, you click insert chart, and the software spits out this 3D exploding pie chart that looks super flashy, but actually completely obscures the information.
Precisely. And the goal of a chart is to reduce cognitive load, right? Not increase it.
Right. Make it easier to understand, not harder.
Exactly. And that is why the bar chart is the absolute workhorse of data visualization.
The trusty bar chart.
Yeah. Because unlike angles in a pie chart, the human eye is incredibly adept at comparing the length of objects when they are aligned on a common baseline.
So it's just much more natural for us.
Very natural. We process that difference pre-attentively, meaning you understand which bar is taller before you've even consciously registered that you're looking at a chart.
That makes total sense. Like, if I'm comparing my monthly coffee budget to my tea budget, a bar chart makes that difference obvious instantly.
Exactly. If you want to compare distinct categories, a horizontal or vertical bar chart is almost always your best bet.
And then we have the line graph, which it feels like it taps into a different kind of psychology entirely. Like, if a bar chart is a snapshot, a line graph is a narrative.
That is a great way to put it.
Right. Like, if I tracked how much coffee I drank every single day over a really stressful week, that line traces a journey from the past to the present, and it helps you anticipate the future.
Yes. The slope of that line communicates velocity and momentum in a way that isolated numbers simply cannot. It's pure pattern recognition.
Right. Whether it's gently climbing or just violently spiking.
Exactly. A line graph connects continuous data points, usually over time, and your brain just immediately fills in the gaps between those points to establish a trend.
So you see the whole picture.
Right. When you look at a line graph tracking, say, monthly user engagement on an app, you aren't just looking at the dots. You're feeling the trajectory.
What's fascinating here is how picking the wrong chart can completely change the message you're sending.
Completely. The specific visual format you choose dictates the story your audience walks away with.
I want to ground this in a very specific scenario from our lesson material. There's this case study about a student who was tasked with delivering a presentation based on just a massive mountain of survey data.
Oh, yes, I remember this one.
Now, if I'm picturing this, the initial draft of that presentation was probably a complete disaster. Just slides crammed with bullet points and raw percentages that would put any audience to sleep in, like,
right,
3 minutes.
Easily. We've all sat through those presentations.
But this student turned it around. And not by finding better data, but by better interpreting and visualizing the data they already had.
Yes, and if we connect this to the bigger picture, this exact scenario is playing out in corporate meeting rooms thousands of times a day.
Oh, no doubt.
Anyone can just copy and paste a data table onto a slide and read it out loud. I mean, that is entry-level behavior.
Just reading the spreadsheet to the room. Painful.
Right. But what this student did was step into the role of a strategic communicator. They looked at the raw survey responses. They identified the core narrative, perhaps a sudden drop in customer satisfaction among a specific demographic, and they chose the precise visual tools to highlight that trend.
They stripped away all the noise.
Exactly.
They didn't just show the thermometer. They diagnosed the fever.
Yes.
They likely took those confusing pie charts, converted them into clean bar charts so the audience could instantly compare the categories, and then used a line graph to show how that satisfaction score was plummeting over the last three quarters.
And suddenly, the audience isn't sitting there trying to do math in their heads. They are reacting directly to the insight.
Right. In any future workplace, being the person who can translate the spreadsheet into a clear visual call to action, I mean, that makes you an absolutely invaluable asset.
It elevates you from a passive reporter of facts to an active driver of strategy. Leaders and executives, they do not have the time to mine your spreadsheets for insights.
No, they definitely don't.
They rely on you to visually surface what matters. But, and this is important, this immense power to clarify and persuade comes with a really significant responsibility.
Because it can be misused.
Exactly. Because the exact same psychological mechanisms that make charts so effective at communicating truth, well, they make them incredibly effective at communicating lies.
Okay, but hold on. I have to push back a little here.
Go for it.
We always hear about the dark side of data visualization, right? Mm. Like truncated y-axis that start at 50 instead of 0, just to make a tiny difference look massive.
Right, the classic trick.
But who actually falls for that? If you're a capable professional, Wouldn't a completely warped scale just be instantly called out the second you look at the labels?
You would think so, but you are overestimating the speed of our logical processing.
Really?
Yeah, this comes right back to neurobiology. When you see a chart with a dramatic bright red line shooting upward, your amygdala, which is the part of your brain responsible for emotional responses and threat detection, it reacts almost instantly.
So you feel it before you think about it.
Exactly. It registers danger, urgency, or massive growth milliseconds before your prefrontal cortex, which is the logical center, has time to read the tiny text on the y-axis.
Oh, wow.
So by the time you realize the scale only goes from 50 to 52, your emotional reaction has already been anchored.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because it's basically a biological exploit.
It really is.
Like a bad actor, or even just a careless marketing manager trying to make their quarterly numbers look better, they don't need to fake the raw data. They just need to manipulate the presentation of it to trigger that immediate emotional response.
Precisely.
It's like a funhouse mirror at a carnival. You look into it, and it technically reflects reality like those are your arms, those are your legs, but the proportions are intentionally stretched and warped to manipulate your reaction.
That is a highly accurate way to frame it. The data might be technically true, but the visual narrative is a lie. And this is why chart interpretation is not just a technical skill. It is fundamentally an ethical one. You have to develop defensive habits to protect yourself from these funhouse mirrors.
So how do we do that? The lesson lays out several key strategies for responsible use, right?
Yes. And the most critical is interrogating the structure before you absorb the message. You have to force your prefrontal cortex to wake up before your amygdala runs away with the narrative.
So what does that defensive habit actually look like on a daily basis? I mean, if you were listening to this right now, how do you upgrade your digital literacy so you aren't getting fooled by your own feed?
It requires a deliberate tactical checklist every time a chart crosses your screen.
Okay, what's step one?
First, do not skip the title. The title is not just a label. It is the author's intended framing. It tells you what they actually want you to conclude.
Right, it's their argument.
Exactly. Second, physically trace your eyes to the axis. What is the baseline? Does it start at zero? Are the increments even, or do they jump erratically to just flatten out a curve?
Sneaky. And third?
Third, look for the denominator.
Oh, this is a big one.
Yes. If a chart shows a massive spike in user complaints, is that because the product is failing or simply because the total user base tripled in that same time frame?
You have to ask yourself, what is this visual actively trying to hide from me?
Exactly.
That point about the denominator is just brilliant. A raw number spike means nothing without the context of the total.
It's completely meaningless.
And honestly, beyond just rigorously interrogating the charts you consume, the absolute best way to build confidence in this skill is to get your hands dirty and build them yourself.
100%.
When you know how the funhouse mirror is constructed, it completely loses its power to trick you.
Active creation is the ultimate form of learning. And the lesson highlights several practical digital tools that are industry standards for this.
Yeah. You have spreadsheet giants like Microsoft Excel and Google Sheets, which allow you to manipulate raw data sets.
Right.
And then you have design-focused platforms like Canva, which are just incredible for refining the actual visual communication aspect.
Yes, getting hands-on demystifies the whole process.
I highly recommend taking a small data set, maybe your own monthly expenses, or even the standings of your favorite sports league, plugging it into Google Sheets, and just playing around.
Just experiment with it.
Yeah, change a bar chart into a line graph, truncate the y-axis yourself, and watch how a $10 difference suddenly looks like a massive financial crisis. Right. Experiencing that manipulation firsthand is so eye-opening.
It really is. It moves you from a passive consumer to an active architect of information.
Absolutely.
And for learners who want to push past the basics and truly master this language, the lesson recommends three phenomenal books for deeper reading.
Oh, yes. Storytelling with Data, The Visual Display of Quantitative Information, and Naked Statistics.
Yes. These are foundational texts that dive really deep into the intersection of mathematics, design, and human psychology.
Those are fantastic recommendations for anyone serious about upgrading their professional toolkit. We've covered a vast amount of ground today, moving from the sheer cognitive overload of the digital age to the specific biological reasons why we need visual data.
It's a lot to take in, but so important.
So what does this all mean? Ultimately, it means that charts are not just pictures. They are arguments. We explored how bar charts leverage our ability to compare lengths, why line graphs are essential for tracing historical narratives, and why pie charts, well, they often fail our visual processing hardware.
Very true.
We also saw, through the student case study, that the ability to synthesize and clearly communicate data is what separates entry-level reporting from high-level strategic thinking.
It is the defining competency of the modern knowledge worker. And I want to leave you with the reflection prompt from the lesson.
Let's hear it.
I want you to ask yourself directly, how can stronger chart interpretation skills improve your academic and professional communication?
That is a great question.
Think about the next project you are working on or the next major presentation you have to deliver. How can you move from simply showing numbers to actively driving understanding?
I love that.
I encourage you to constantly question the visual data in your daily feeds. Do not let your emotional brain make decisions for you.
That is the exact mindset you need to navigate this landscape. Stay curious, stay responsible, and stay future ready. I want to encourage you to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities to really lock these concepts into your daily workflow.
Definitely do the workbook activities.
And we also want to acknowledge the reference materials by formally thanking the insights provided in the books Storytelling with Data, The Visual Display of Quantitative Information, and Naked Statistics. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. Your digital world is full of funhouse mirrors, but now you know how to spot the warped glass. See you next time.